This is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1936 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Interesting, that's the year when Joseph entered Egypt as a slave in the BCE years, that time, 1936. Ward Green with you again today for the study, and because it's Wednesday, and our Lord was impaled on a Thursday, seeing as 3 days and three nights require Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and the resurrection by Sunday morning is the reason for that. So we have, that's according to Scripture. And also, we're going to see that today because somehow, by some grace of the all-powerful Yahweh, we're going to see, and we're going to be reading Jonah chapter 1, if the true God is willing. And we're beginning chapter 9 today in the Crucible article, paragraph 1. And we're reading 2 Chronicles chapter 11, which is about Rehoboam. Chapter 9 of the Crucible of Credible Creed, or C-cubed, the article, is called King David, Loving and Beloved. And the quote for the theme of the chapter is from Psalm 51, a melody of David, when Nathan the prophet came into him after he had had relations with Bathsheba, verses 1 to 3, New World Translation, 1984, which reads, "Show me favor, O God," as David wrote, "according to your loving kindness, according to the abundance of your mercies, wipe out my transgressions. Thoroughly wash me from my error and cleanse me even from my sin. For my transgressions I myself know, and my sin is in front of me constantly." King David ruled Israel from 1058 BCE to 1017 BCE. Those dates we didn't change in our subsequent work after this article. And he ruled for a total of 40 and a half years, as the figures add at 2 Samuel 5 and 5, something we mentioned in an earlier study with regard to 2 Samuel 5 and 5. These dates we obtained, the dates that is, 1058 to 1017, in the Crucible of Chronology, and they were verified by the years of the kings of Israel and Judah, whose reigns have been faithfully recorded as being a total of 431 years. And that we have changed. It's now been modified to be 430 years, something that is remarkable. And the reason partly for that is because that includes only from the reign of the beginning of Solomon's reign until the destruction of the temple. But we've modified the year of the destruction of the temple by 1 year, and that's what happened. We raised it from 586, which we thought originally, to 587, which is more certain now. It's good because it means that from the beginning of Rehoboam's reign in 977, when the northern kingdom became an unfortunate reality, until the destruction of the temple in 587, there are 390 years, which is in accord with the prophecy of Ezekiel. When we look at Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 5, and we look at the study note for that from the Insight book under chronology, we see the 390 years was talked about here as being, although we don't agree with all the dates here, but the 390 years is the crucial thing. The period here reckons the period of Samaria's guilt from the time, one authority is quoted as saying, when the schism took place under Rehoboam until the fall of Jerusalem. There it is there. It's in the It's right there in the Insight books. Heading chronology. Okay. We're going to be doing today Little Children, Second Chronicles, chapter 11. Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem. So this is fascinating that we're talking about these things at the same time. But from King Solomon, the son of David, down to the destruction of Jerusalem, there are 430 years in our later articles, which is only different by 1 year from 431. Each king's reign is recorded in the Bible, and the dating of the end of the destruction of Jerusalem as, now we're going to say 587 BCE, the end of the line of kings of Judah, is taken as a standard. Of course, now it's even more standard, and it's 587. Calculating back puts the start at 1017. The end of David, the birth of David, is determined from 1058, when he is 30 years old, from 2 Samuel 5 and 4, as happening in 1088 BCE. 30 years before 1058 is 1058 plus 30 is 1088, the birth of David. And David ruled, as we said at the beginning of this chapter, from 1058, when he was 30 years old, down to 1017, or a total of 40 and a half years. So with that one modification with regard to the 431 years, with 390 of them being attributed to the time of the kingdom of Israel, down to the destruction of Jerusalem, there's also 40 years of Solomon's reign added to that to make 430 total. And that's only part of the prophecy of Ezekiel that we're talking about today. Now, our scripture for today, little children, is from, let's find it here. Where is it? Oh, yes. Well, look at this. This is where David has called for the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant. It looks like that. It's got a name, this illustration. Let's see if we can find out what the name is of this illustration. Here it is. It's Transportation of the Ark of the Covenant Containing the Tablets of the Law. It's an 1816 painting by Luigi Adamolo. It's in Florence, the city, Florence. And so they were transporting the Ark in this picture at some point, perhaps David bringing the Ark up to Jerusalem or something like that, or one of the times when they transported the Ark. Not that everything about this picture would be considered to be perfect, I don't think, because we see that when we look at this picture, where is it? Is it here? Yes. When we look at this picture, it doesn't appear that the faces of the men carrying the Ark are very joyful. I'm not sure if that would be an indication of anything. They don't look particularly happy. However, it's a beautiful illustration in the colors and the Ark of the Covenant, showing the gold of the Ark of the Covenant there. What else have we got to see? Oh yes, today's scripture, little ones. The wisdom of wise ones is knowing their way, but fraud is the folly of fools, as they say. The wisdom of wise ones is knowing their way, but fraud is the folly of fools, as they say. Proverbs 14 and 8. Now, in 2 Chronicles, our reading for today, when Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, he immediately congregated the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 choice men, able-bodied for war to fight against Israel, so as to bring the kingdom back to Rehoboam. They'd just broken away. Then the word of Jehovah came to Shemaiah, the man of the true God, saying, "Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, this is what Yahweh has said, you must not go up and fight against your brothers. Return each one to his house, for it is at my own instance that this thing has been brought about." So they obeyed the word of Jehovah and returned from going against Jeroboam. And Rehoboam continued to dwell in Jerusalem and proceeded to build fortified cities in Judah. Thus he rebuilt Bethlehem and Etam and Tekoa and Bethzur and Soko and Adullam and Gath and Marisha and Ziph and Adoraim and Lachish and Azekah and Zorah and Ajalon and Hebron, fortified cities which were in Judah and Benjamin. Further, he reinforced the fortified places and put leaders in them and supplies of food and oil and wine, and in all the different cities, large shields and lances, and he went on reinforcing them to a very great degree. And Judah and Benjamin continued his, and the priests and the Levites themselves that were in all Israel took their stand by him out of all their territories. So the northern kingdoms, the 10 tribes, the Levites from those kingdoms came to be with the 2 tribes of the southern kingdom of Judah, ruled by Rehoboam. For in verse 14, the Levites left their pasture grounds and their possession, and then came to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons had discharged them from acting as priests to Jehovah. And he proceeded to put in office for himself priests for the high places and for the goat-shaped demons and for the calves that he had made, and following them from all the tribes of Israel, those that were giving their heart to seek Jehovah, the God of Israel, came themselves to Jerusalem to sacrifice to Yahweh, the God of their forefathers. And they kept strengthening the kingship of Judah and confirming Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, for 3 years. For they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took as his wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and the son of Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. This person, daughter Mahalath, was the daughter of Jeremoth and his wife Abihail. In time she bore him sons, as well as this. In time this wife, we're now talking about Rehoboam, his wife, bore him sons, Jeosh and Shemariah and Zaham. And after her, he took Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Absalom, we know, was a son of David. In time, she bore him Abijah and Attai and Ziza and Shelomith. And Rehoboam was more in love with Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom, than all his other wives and his concubines. For there were 18 wives that he had taken, also 60 concubines, so that he became father to 28 sons and 60 daughters. Consequently, Rehoboam put Abijah, the son of Maacah, in office as head. We know Abijah succeeded Rehoboam as the king after Rehoboam, as leader among his brothers, for he thought of making him king. However, he acted understandingly and distributed some out of all of his sons to all the lands of Judah and of Benjamin, to all the fortified cities, and gave them food in abundance and procured a multitude of wives for them. Well, that's interesting. Food in abundance, because today is the day for the celebration of the evening meal, according to the Wednesday, being the Wednesday that's the nearest before the time of the impalement of Jesus in the year 30 CE, a year which has been proven to be the only possible year in which it could have occurred. And why would the Gospels not have told us, of course, that it was a Wednesday when he had the evening meal? Why would they not have mentioned that it was a Wednesday? Well, probably to avoid the controversy that would have come when people realized that Jesus could not have eaten the evening meal on the same night as the Passover was eaten, because they impaled him the next day and they had him crucified, and you couldn't execute a man on a festival day like a Passover. It was against the law of the Jews. So he must have been done the night before that. That's how we can say it must have been a Wednesday and not the Thursday, which was one day, which is possibly not the Passover, whereas Friday in the year 30 CE could have been, I don't want to get too technical here, Friday was one possible day that could have been the Passover day of the Sadducees, and then Saturday would be the Pharisees after that, the next day. But the other possibility was that it could have been Thursday that was the Passover day of the Sadducees, and Friday was the Passover day of the Pharisees. But if Thursday was the Passover day of the Sadducees, then Jesus would have had to have eaten the evening meal on the Tuesday, not the Wednesday. But since Thursday night, since Wednesday evening meal, Thursday Passover, and Wednesday night, I should say, he was impaled on the Thursday. So he's in the grave Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night satisfies the 3 days and three nights of the prophecy of Jonah, so which we're going to read right now. So Jonah now, Jehovah willing, we're going to read Jonah chapter 1. And this is a fantastic story. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful thing here that everyone knows this story, just about everybody anyway. If they haven't heard it, then they've probably been enjoying it even more. And the word of Jehovah began to occur to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 2, get up, the word of Jehovah said. Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city. The Assyrian city, right? And proclaim against her that their badness has come up before me. That's what Jehovah said. And Jonah proceeded to get up and run away to Tarshish. He didn't go to Nineveh. He ran away to Tarshish from before Yahweh. And he finally came down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid its fare and went down into it in order to go with them to Tarshish from before Jehovah. And Jehovah himself hurled forth a great wind at the sea. So he was going to Tarshish, and we know that was in the Mediterranean, or the place we believe it is in the Mediterranean, somewhere in Spain, Tarshish. So he was going from his home, which was evidently in Israel, he was going west on the Mediterranean to get to Spain. But he was told to go to Assyria. That was to the east. He was going the opposite direction. And Jehovah himself hurled forth a great wind at the sea. Verse 4, and there came to be a great tempest on the sea, and as for the ship, it was about to be wrecked. And the mariners began to fear and to call for aid, each one to his God. You can just picture them there praying to the heavens. And they kept hurling out the articles that were in the ship to the sea in order to lighten it of them. But Jonah himself had gone down to the innermost parts of the decked vessel, and he proceeded to lie down and go fast asleep. Does that sound like something he would do if there was a raging storm? But perhaps he was so grieved by the storm, and so, or perhaps he was tired, but perhaps he was so fearful of the storm that it just put him into a state where he couldn't function anymore. At length the ship captain came near to him and said to him, what is the matter with you, sleeper? Get up. Call out to your God. Perhaps the true God will show himself caring about us, and we shall not perish. Get up. Call out to your God. Perhaps the true God will show himself caring about us, and we shall not perish. And they began to say to one another, come and let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account we have this calamity. And they kept casting lots. And finally the lot fell upon Jonah. That was a method of ancient times that was used to determine who a guilty party was. So they said to him, do tell us, please, on whose account it is that we are having this calamity. What is your work, and from where do you come? What is your country, and from which people are you? At that he said to them, I am a Hebrew. All the time, of course, the storm is raging around them. And Jehovah, the God of the heavens, I am fearing, the one who made the sea and the dry land. And the men began to fear greatly, and they went on to say to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men had come to know that it was from before Yahweh that he was running away, because he had told them. Finally, they said to him, "What should we do to you in order that the sea may become still for us?" For the sea was continually growing more tempestuous. So he said to them, "Lift me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will become still for you." Because I am aware that it is on my account that this great tempest is upon you. I am aware that it is on my account that this great tempest is upon you. So that's why he said to them, "Lift me up and hurl me into the sea." But the men tried to work their way through in order to bring the ship back to the dry land. Yet they were unable, and they didn't want to throw him. Evidently, they didn't want to throw him into the sea, because the sea was continually growing more tempestuous against them, which meant they couldn't bring the ship back to dry land, even though they were trying to avoid throwing Jonah into the water. And they proceeded to call out to Yahweh and to say, "Ah, now, O Jehovah, may we please not perish because of the soul of this man, and do not put upon us innocent blood. Since you yourself, O Yahweh, have done according to what you have delighted in." Then they lifted up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea began to halt from its raging. At that the men began to fear Jehovah greatly. And so they offered a sacrifice to Yahweh and made vows. Now Jehovah appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, so that Jonah came to be in the inward parts of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's the end of Jonah chapter 1. That's the prophecy of Jonah that Jesus talked about by quoting it as 3 days and three nights. And that explains why we're celebrating on the Wednesday evening the Last Supper, the Lord's evening meal. Okay. So, what time is it now? We've got a few more minutes. But that's about all we have to talk about for the study today. We got the video, but I've prepared the unleavened bread. I've got some beet juice. Almost dropped the bread. Oh, that's not good. It's not good. Yeah. This is the unleavened bread. So I'm going to, first of all, let me imagine passing it, first of all. Okay. Now, to myself, I will take a piece. All right. Jesus had told his disciples, "This means my body, the bread." I've already had my supper, of course. And now, the beet juice, symbolizing the blood of Christ. We have an emblem in the form of the beet juice. Oops. I almost dropped it or knocked it against my hand there. There we are. Keep my hand out of the way. So I'm imagining passing it. Okay. Now it's coming to me. I'm going to take a sip. Okay. All right. So that's the Lord's evening meal for my household today. Yeah, there is some news. Don't know if I should release any more news today, though, because of the solemnity of the occasion. So we do have a few more minutes, though, to talk about some things. if there are some things that seem appropriate, that is. Let's see what we can find out. What Clark said about. Yeah. Oh, there's so many things. In the article Born and Raised, that's what I wanted to mention too. That's where the explanation of all these things regarding the date and the day of the Lord's evening meal and of the crucifixion are discussed, and there it's demonstrated convincingly every which way from Sunday, you could say, that it must be the year 30 CE in which these events occurred. And it just happens to be the majority view also among scholars, but we're not concerned with that at all. We're not concerned with the majority view. That's not the reason for it. It just happens to be the majority view also. So it's based on many different facts, independent and various, and many of them scriptural, of course. I think it's John 2:20, is it not, where it says there were 46 years at building the temple, and the year of the beginning of the temple reconstruction by King Herod the Great is known as being his year 18, and his year 1 is also known as being 37 BCE. Quite well known, and therefore his year 18 is 20 BCE. And from that point, first of all, let's look at John, chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore the Jews said, this temple was built in 46 years, and there we have it. So that 46 years is up until the time of the baptism of Jesus, because he was baptized, and then the next Passover after his baptism is where this occurs at John 2:20, which is talked about in verse 13 there. Okay, and then, you know, if we go back, well, we can't really say here, but John chapter 1, what's it talking about there? Right. Yeah, it talks about his baptism in chapter 1. So the first Passover after the baptism was in 27 of the Common Era, his baptism being in 26 CE, 3.5 years before his crucifixion in 30 CE. So, because his ministry was 3.5 years, which is also half of a week, according to the prophecy of Daniel, certain important matters were to take place at the half of the week. So 3.5 years was the ministry of Jesus, and that's also shown to be true from the gospel accounts. But his baptism, or this 46-year ending in 27, Passover of 27 CE, after his baptism in sometime after the middle of 26 CE, 46 years after the year 20 BCE, because there's no year zero, it's exactly 27. 27 CE is exactly 46 years after 20 BCE. It's not 47, because there's no year zero. So it's exactly right, and that proves that the time between the going forth of the word to rebuild Jerusalem, right, which is symbolized by the temple, of course, the rebuilding of the temple by King Herod, starting in 20 BCE. The 7 weeks was mentioned in the book of Daniel chapter 9. it was going to be 7 weeks and also 62 weeks. Well, the 7 weeks are fulfilled there because 20 BCE until the crucifixion in 30 CE is 20 plus 30 equals 50 minus 1 equals 49 because there's no year zero. So 49 years is exactly 7 weeks of years in fulfillment of part of that prophecy of Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 9. So that's remarkable. And there's so many reasons why. There are many, put it that way, but there are many pieces of evidence given in the article Born and Raised as to why 30 CE is the correct year, the only year that is correct for the crucifixion. It's the only one that satisfies all of these different requirements for the year of the crucifixion. We don't possibly have time to mention them all today, but they're in the article. It's been written, published, and it's online. Born and Raised Messiah. It's the last article, the most recent article written by yours truly. It's my pen name being Rolf Ward Green. And so the date is, are we done? No, we're not quite done. We've got another minute or so. Yeah, about another minute and a half. So, I'm trying to think what else I can do. Oh, I've discovered something very interesting, that you can buy groceries on the internet and have them delivered from downtown Ottawa. So that I'm very interested in that. It's far, far preferable to do that rather than to go driving on an excursion, even just a mile down the road to get groceries, because it's not really a lot more expensive. It's not really that much more expensive at all, you know, to do it online. But there is a cost, of course. You have to pay delivery charge. You pay by the year, like $100 a year for delivery, which is not too unreasonable, I don't think. But and the probably the price of the groceries is a little bit, it's not really higher, I don't think, from what I could see, but it must be a little bit higher, I think. It's not much higher, if it is. I've ordered a log splitter, because I've been splitting so much wood. I'm using a lot of wood. So I've ordered a log splitter. It's the least expensive one I could find, but it seems like it might be a good one. That's all for today's video, little children. I have loved being with you. It's March 20th, Wednesday, March 20th, the year 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 20:09 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I am Ward Green, and I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty. It's Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now.